Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Later in the show, we'll get to our new meme. Could you call it a meme if it has tons of information on a graphic? If there's too many words, is it no longer a meme? We have a new meme on our website, kgov.com/terror, and it's attacks committed by terrorist named Jesus versus attacks committed by terrorist named Muhammad. So we'll get to that. Also, real tragic increase in the number of people dying from heroin overdoses in Denver over the last 15 years or so. You know, during that time, marijuana has become increasingly accessible, legal, no stigma. And for decades, people have warned that marijuana is a gateway drug. And yes, Denver is the gateway to heroin and other dangerous drugs because of its lead in decriminalizing marijuana. We here at Bob and Yurt Live are at the forefront of warning the nation, warning your kids, your teenagers, your grandkids about the effects of marijuana, negative effects of marijuana. At kgov.com/pot, P-O-T, the peer-reviewed science about the negative effects of marijuana is horrifying. And much of it is done on university campuses where there's a very pro-marijuana bias. So a lot of these results are contrary to interest because the professors, the departments that come out with anti-marijuana findings are not exactly then the favorites of the student body. Okay, also I want to talk about the film last night and Is Genesis History for its encore performance. We had just a fabulous time at our showing, and then afterwards about 15 folks from the theater went to a restaurant right across the street to talk about the film. Want to talk about that. And sorry, I mentioned yesterday Doug McBurney would be in studio. He's not here, but we're going to go ahead and discuss this new information from Answers in Genesis anyway. And it's exciting what they have put on the cover of their newsletter. So because it's surprising, but it's actually we've been predicting at Real Science Radio that eventually one of the big creation ministries will be the first to acknowledge where the water came from in the global flood. And also in the news, I'd like to talk a bit about Mexico pausing their sugar exports to the United States. Of course, that won't hurt our obesity problems. But I'd like to let you know how the U.S. government divvies out to about 40 different countries different amounts, different tonnages of sugar that they're allowed to export to the United States. It's all bizarre. It should all be done based on private individuals, private businesses having the freedom to buy sugar at the best price and import as they see fit, not as some government bureaucrat or some congressional committee or an executive branch agency decides where we should be buying our sugar from. Also, an amazing admission by a new legislator in Massachusetts that the representatives and the senators at the state house are a bunch of drunks. That they drink way too much. If you're drunk, then you've drunk too much. If you are losing control of your faculties, if you're not able to make good decisions, if you're losing control of your inhibitions, you have drunk too much. And so she says that what's the most surprising for her being a freshman representative at the State House in Massachusetts is how much the representatives there drink on the job there at the Capitol. So those are some of the topics we want to talk about today. To start with, our meme at kgov.com/terror, terrorist named Muhammad. Right? We've been challenged by part of this because we list 11 terrorists named Muhammad, and then we say that plus 100 more jailed in the U.S. since 9/11, and 1,000 more globally among the 30,000 lethal Muslim attacks since 9/11 committed by adherents to the religion of peace. And of course, Muslims have a very high incidence of naming their children Muhammad. Mostly their boys, Muhammad. You go to a Muslim meeting and you want to get everybody's attention. You just say, hey, Muhammad. Everybody looks around and then you tell them what you want them to know. So we've been challenged by the claim that 100 more terrorists named Muhammad have been jailed in the U.S. since 9/11. First, I'll read to you the list of terrorists named Jesus. Attacks committed by terrorists named Jesus. And that's it. We've completed that list. We couldn't find any. And then attacks committed by terrorists named Muhammad. Number one is Muhammad Atta from the 9/11 attack on America. Number two, Khalid Sheikh Muhammad, the 9/11 attack. Number three, Fawid Muhammad Agad, one of the Paris theater murderers, terrorist. Number four, John Muhammad Emwazi. He's from Britain. Remember Jihadi John, the British beheader. Number five, Hesham Muhammad Hadayat. LAX, remember that? The Muslim who went up to the LAL ticket counter and started shooting people, killed one or two folks. Then there was the DC sniper, John Muhammad. Of course, there were Islamic overtones to that terrorist episode. Then at number seven, Muhammad Abu Abbas. Remember the Achille Lauro takeover of that cruise ship? And they threw an American in a wheelchair overboard and killed him. And then number eight, Mohamed Boufarkouch. He's the one who stabbed a child to death in his terrorist attack. Number nine, Mohamed Whitaker. Remember the sniper in Kansas City? That story came and disappeared as quickly as it came. Number 10, Mohamed Abrini, the Brussels airport attack. Number 11, Mohamed Boulel, the Bastille Day attack in France. And then we say plus 100 more jailed in the U.S. since 9/11, and that's what's been challenged. So what I'm going to do is put a link to a list on Wikipedia, and it's not a list of terrorists named Muhammad. They don't have an article by that title. I mean, that would be a great title for a Wikipedia list, wouldn't it? They do have a list of terrorist attacks motivated by Islam. They have that. That's amazing that that's on Wikipedia because that is so politically incorrect, but there it is. Huge list. But they do have a list of inmates at Guantanamo Bay, and that's where after 9/11, we began to house the terrorists, those fighting for Al-Qaeda and other Al-Qaeda-related Islamic terrorist organizations against the U.S. And when we captured people on the battlefield or elsewhere, then we would house them, some of them, at Guantanamo Bay. And there have been a total of about 750 people held there since 9/11, and about a rough count that I just did, about 80 of them are named Muhammad. About 80 of those. So that's more than 1 in 10 named Muhammad. So when they're out in the yard playing croquet or whatever Muslims do when they're out in the yard. I don't think they play much. Certainly, they've outlawed playing in various countries. In Saudi Arabia, women, they can't even go to the gym to work out. I mean, that's basically not allowed for women to be involved in physical recreation, sports. I mean, little by little, they're trying to fight for the right to, for female athletes and all in Saudi Arabia. So I don't know what they do in the yard there at Guantanamo Bay, but if there's a bunch of Muslim prisoners there, terrorists, and you just shout, "Hey, Muhammad," a good number of them will turn around and look at you. So you could communicate to them. But that's 80, and our meme says 100. But there are also hundreds of people jailed for terrorist-related offenses in U.S. jails here on the mainland. Guantanamo Bay is on the end of the island of Cuba. So certainly it's over 100 Muhammads have been jailed for terrorist attacks and attempted terrorist attacks and conspiracy after the fact and so on. And then we have 1,000 plus 1,000 more among the 30,000 lethal Muslim attacks since 9/11 committed by the adherents of the religion of peace. So that would be a hard stat to verify or to falsify. But over at our website, kgov.com/terror, the very first link at the top of the page links to a listing of every lethal terrorist attack since 9/11. And the number now is 30,434. And the number of people murdered by adherence to the religion of peace is far more than 30,000, because some of the attacks, of course, have killed hundreds of people, and others dozens, and the smallest have killed one person on this list. So that's the meme, the latest meme we've put on our website, and you find that at kgov.com/terror. Oh, and before we leave the topic of terror, just these two observations. Whenever the media says that Islam is tolerant, then you can ask, if Islam is a religion of tolerance, then how many synagogues are in Mecca? And how many churches are in Saudi Arabia? It turns out the answer to both is none, because Islam is the religion of intolerance. And then if they say Islam is a peaceful religion, I like to point out that Saudi Arabia, Iran, and four other Islamic countries have laws that call for the death penalty for a Muslim who converts to Christianity. And some have the same punishment for blasphemers, somebody who says something not nice about Allah, like Allah is a false god. So Islam is a religion of intolerance, and Islam is anything but a religion of peace. Then I wanted to mention the idea that, you know, drug use here in Colorado, by legalizing marijuana, we would reduce crime and people wouldn't end up doing other illegal drugs because they'd have marijuana available. And for just one person to die, imagine sticking a needle in your arm, in your vein, and mainlining heroin, how horrific that is. And we used to see numbers, maybe a dozen or so in Denver, dying from a heroin overdose, heroin use. And now the number, you know, it used to be 12 to maybe 16 back about 10 years ago. Now it's in the 30s, 30 to 35 people a year in Denver dying. And I thought this wasn't supposed to happen. I thought there was supposed to be less crime. About, what was it, 8 months ago or so, the police department in Aurora, somebody, an official there, made a public statement that they had a large number of murders in a short amount of time in the previous few months, and they said most of them were related to marijuana. How could that be? That doesn't make any sense. But anyway, of course, that's the reality and that's the tragedy. The normal use of marijuana gets people high. It is the abuse of alcohol that gets people drunk. You get that? The abuse of alcohol gets people drunk. The normal use of marijuana gets people high. That's why marijuana, heroin, cocaine, crack cocaine, these should be illegal substances. You should not be able to entertain, to use recreational drugs to get high. And so that's why here at Bob and Yurt Live, we have always advocated for marijuana to be criminal and all such recreational drugs, and for wine to be legal, as Jesus himself drank wine. He made wine on one occasion, at least. And we have a debate with a pastor of a Church of Christ here in Denver. And the Church of Christ teaches that it's wrong to drink alcohol, wine or beer or so on. And so we have that debate. It's on our website, kgov.com/wine. So you could read our short article on the topic about why the Bible teaches it is okay to drink alcohol, but it is a sin and a crime, by the way, to be drunk. It's a sin and a crime because society doesn't have to put up with that kind of gross negligence where a human being loses control of his faculties and then becomes a threat to his neighbors. So heroin deaths have skyrocketed. That's considered skyrocketing in the past 10, 15 years. Real tragic here in Colorado. Okay, now, with Mexico announcing that they are temporarily stopping exports of sugar to the U.S., of course, there could be political overtones to this, but it has to do with bureaucrats who are trying to allegedly follow the letter of the law or the regulations. And so here in the U.S., our federal government allots a certain amount of sugar to a certain number of countries of how much they're allowed to sell us. So, for example, Mexico, they provide the majority of U.S. sugar imports, 12 million tons of sugar per year. 12 million tons. You know, one pop, let's say it's a Coke or a Pepsi or a 7-Up, has how many teaspoons of sugar in one can of pop? Could somebody check on that? I'd say it's what, 8 teaspoons of sugar? Something like that, we'll find out. But so what our government does is we tell 40 different countries, here is how much sugar that you are allowed to sell to Americans. And Donald Trump's mindset of trying to micromanage imports and exports, that the federal government decides how these things are going to happen, it's going to punish some countries, reward other countries. That is government intervention in a socialist manner. That's socialism. So if you like your cell phone and you're getting ready to buy another cell phone and you don't like that the new ones cost $500, well, let the government get involved, in fact, get more involved in fair trade, and they might say, hey, South Korea is not buying nearly as many electronic devices from us as we are buying from them. You know, that's the where Samsung has their headquarters. So the government might slap a surtax on Samsung phones, Galaxy 6s or whatever, Note 4s, Note 5s, and maybe when you go to buy your phone, you thought it was going to be $500. Now you find out it's $580. Or you're going to buy a car and you thought the car was going to be $30,000 and now it's $34,000. And all the Americans who don't think through these things and who don't understand right from wrong, They all cheer. Yay, we're punishing the Koreans. We're punishing the Japanese. But who you're punishing are the American families who need to buy their communication devices and their transportation equipment, their automobiles. That's who you are punishing. So it amounts to increased taxation. Whoa, the number of teaspoons in an average can of pop is 7.8. I guessed 8, right? Must have read that a few years ago. One of my hobbies, my wife says, one of my hobbies is estimating. Love to estimate. We'll be having dinner and somebody will say, how many chickens are killed every day in America? And we try to guess how many, then look it up. And it's interesting, you know, those chickens, it's better to have lived and been eaten than to never have lived at all. If you're a chicken or a turkey, wouldn't you at least like to enjoy life for some time? So anyway, it doesn't matter. But it does remind us that animals have rights, and they have the rights to be hunted, killed, cooked, and eaten. There is a talk show host on another station in Denver, Ross Kaminsky, and he said on his program a few days ago, he said if he's gone wrong, if he's let down his daughter, young daughter, I think maybe he said she's 12 years old, it's in this. She has decided that she will not eat meat. She's a vegetarian. He's worried about her health. He's worried that she's crazy. And what can he do? He can't force meat down her throat, of course. So he's in a mess. And he said, I don't know where I went wrong. Ross, I do know where you went wrong. Because the government school that you're putting your daughter in, that is only one of many ways that they are attempting to destroy her worldview, including that animals have rights. That's why your daughter doesn't want to eat meat. It's because of the humanist worldview she's getting in her government school and also from Disney. And Disney, of course, has always been where the hunter is evil and the businessman is evil and the innocent animals should never be eaten. And what the reason they do that is because they hate the creator. And when you hate the creator, you're left with nothing but to worship the creation. And so Disney, in their long war against God, now they have a new Disney film out just in theaters, and they've got their first openly homo character in a Disney children's movie. So it makes you want to throw up. They've had plenty of homo allusions and all over the years. All these Hollywood movies for kids for the past 10 years or so have had plenty of homosexual allusions. Well, now Disney is bragging this is our first openly homosexual character. And they probably try to make it look cute and funny, but that makes it even more dangerous. So back to sugar. The federal government has no authority from God. Government is authority. And authority flows downhill, not uphill. So parents have authority over their children. The kids don't give the parents authority over them. Parents have authority over their children. The boss in a business, the leaders of a corporation, they have authority over their employees. The employee could quit if he wants, but otherwise, in the military, the general has authority over the troops. And governing officials have authority over the people that they govern, and authority flows downhill, not uphill. Otherwise, you get this egotistical attitude where somebody says to the president of the United States, it's your job to serve me. You got to serve me. You got to do what I tell you. And then the president or some king somewhere could look at that person and say, well, first of all, you're probably mentally ill, not realizing that there are millions of people who would disagree with you on what I should do. So you're pretending that everyone would agree with you. But secondly, what an ego, what a destructive ego to think that you look at a leader of your country and you say, you should serve me. You know, Jesus Christ came to serve, but he didn't come to be a servant. And those who look upon God as a servant are destroying themselves and insulting God. Same thing is true with government. So government has authority. Authority flows downhill from God. God did not give to the government the authority to manage our financial transactions. If you want to buy paper, fancy writing paper, from some producer somewhere in Brazil or Venezuela, oh wait, they can't ship anything anymore. They're too socialist. You want to buy paper to import, then for the federal government of either country to say, oh, we're not going to let you do that, or we're going to double the cost of the paper, and we're going to take that money as taxes to protect our U.S. paper manufacturers. That's sinful. That's usurping authority that God never gave to governments. Okay, so wow, where's the time going? So this representative, Maura Walsh, from Providence, Massachusetts, was on a local talk radio show and said that she is shocked by how much alcohol is consumed at the state capitol, and that you can't operate a motor vehicle when you've had two beers, but you can make laws when you're tipsy. And she's exactly right. And by the way, public drunkenness was decriminalized by liberals years ago, who bribed the states to decriminalize drunkenness. And of course, it should be a crime. It's not a crime. They might pick you up and drop you off at a detox center, the police, but it's no longer a crime, and it should be, because it's dangerous. All right, the film last night is Genesis History. After the film, I did what I do. You know, I stood as people are leaving the theater and said, if you'd like to talk about the film we all just watched, then just go right across the street to the Yard House. That's at Colorado Mills, west of Denver. And so 15 folks, four folks sat at a booth, but then 11 of us at a large table. We had a wonderful time, talked through the film, talked about the strongest arguments in the film. There were a lot of science questions that I and others handled. One guy has studied nuclear physics. Another guy has studied engineering. Another guy, just a fabulous background, who had a patent in laser technology. Just a really great time we had, and I want to recommend this film, Is Genesis History. Was everything in the film what we teach at Real Science Radio? No, of course not. Because, you know, the Bible tells us so much, and then we use the tools of science to figure out, how did these things happen? How did the global flood occur? How did it unfold? After it was over, how did the earth recover? And that's all so fascinating. And so as we do that, Christians, like people of all persuasions, end up with different conclusions. And some of those are very significant. But the film, regardless, the film is fabulous. We highly recommend it. We'll talk about AIG next week. God bless.